Anyway, what I'm going to talk about very basically is meaningful use for ELR, not meaningful use generally. Is everybody here familiar with meaningful use, phase one? Yeah, and who was here on Sunday for the afternoon session on tools to support meaningful use? Yes? Well, this is a synopsis of that talk, abbreviated. But if you want to take a nap while I'm speaking, then wake up for them. I won't be offended. I realize this is a recap. So our standard disclaimer. Two objectives to this. One is to understand the public health meaningful use objective for reportable lab results. We'll go through that extremely briefly since you all know what it is. And then understand how the CDC and the thin tools can support meaningful use. So ELR and meaningful use. What is ELR? As we all know, ELR more broadly covers feeds from hospital labs, clinical labs, public health labs, and healthcare providers more generally. State statutes vary on what conditions are reportable, the time frames, and what information should be included in the reports. So we all know that. ELR for meaningful use is specifically that component that goes from hospital labs, either as a part of an integrated EHR system or component certified EHR system, to public health agencies. So what tools does the CDC have, and what tools have been developed by the task force that may be helpful in meaningful use? Well, the tools fall into different areas. They fall into what tools are helpful when you're constructing a message. In other words, message mapping guides or implementation guides. Vocabulary tools, tools that assist you in filtering and identifying which reportable conditions, which lab tests and results may be indicative of a reportable condition. Validation tools, such as MQF, Message Quality Framework, and MSS, Message Subscription Service. Then once that message has been validated, what tools can assist you in secure transport? The stage one meaningful use does not dictate a transport mechanism that has to be used. CDC does have FinMS, and we will cover FinMS in this talk. And then finally, consumption of that message once it arrives at the health department. How do you receive it? How do you consume it? So that's what we'll be talking about. So first off, constructing the message, the thin message mapping guides, also known more commonly as the implementation guides. These are the guides that tell you the structure and the vocabulary for the message that you're constructing. This is a snapshot of the website, the CDC website, where the message mapping guides live. There are some general message mapping guides, such as for case notification and FIN communication and alerting. And then there are also a set of more detailed mapping guides that support meaningful use for syndromic surveillance, for ELR, as well as for immunization. Those are posted there as well. So that's great to know that there are implementation guides that tell you how to construct your message, but where and how do you know the mappings between your local codes and LOINC and SNOMED, and then since LOINC is required as a part of meaningful use stage one, and then how do you know that LOINC and SNOMED are, which LOINC test codes and which SNOMED result codes may be indicative of a reportable condition? So that's the next question. And there is a delivery tool for this, an access and delivery tool called FinVADS that you may be familiar with. How many people are familiar with FinVADS? Everybody, okay. So common terminology reference tool, promotes sharing and reusing, all that good stuff, allows access to what's current. You can also access stuff that was in the past and get a glimpse of what's in the future. How do you access it? FinVADS, how many people use FinVADS? Okay, so a few people don't. This is how you access it. There are several components to it. There's a web browser component that you can go to. There's also a web service that allows for system-to-system exchange, so two components, one for you to go and look at it yourself using your eyes, the other for you to do a system-to-system communication and exchange from ThinBeds. There's also a light version. The light version allows you to download it locally. NBS along with MSS use that light version at the local level. It's a custom downloader that lets you determine what you want to download, and the links that you have for immunization, for HL7251 for ELR, and the value sets that are related to syndromic surveillance are shown here on the bottom. So all of those are available. Okay, here's what it looks like from an architecture standpoint. So that's all well and good, but how do you get the vocabulary? Now, is there anyone here who has not heard of RCMT by this point in the conference? No. Okay. I'll also go over this very briefly. This work was done by the ELR task force, the CSTE CDC ELR task force. It was an effort to take the previous Dwyer tables and Sable tables and update them. It was a huge, huge, huge collaborative effort. It included EPI-SMEs and LAB-SMEs across the states. And at the CDC, it included SDOs. I don't know how you guys did this, Dari. I really don't. Dari Shirazi was the co-chair of that work group along with Rita Altimore, and it was an amazing bit of work. And what it does is this is what gives you the updated LOINC test codes and SNOMED result code mappings to any reportable conditions across all jurisdictions. Not just nationally notifiable conditions, but reportable conditions as well. Is it an end-all be-all? No, it's not. It provides your first level of filter. It doesn't give you your jurisdiction-specific, it doesn't give you your jurisdiction-specific requirements for what the criteria are that should be considered when you're looking at reporting a given condition to a jurisdiction. Doesn't give you the time frames. It doesn't tell you the reporting requirements. There is work being done on a reportable condition knowledge base. That's RCKB down here at the bottom that has that broader scope envisioned. Does RCKB exist? No. It's a concept. It's a recognition for a missing need that we've had for a long time in public health, right? We've known we needed a knowledge base that could hold all of this information that a computer could access and read in order to determine, oh, for this particular jurisdiction, this condition does need to be reported or does not need to be reported. So there is a, I'll put in a quick plug, there is a reportable condition knowledge base workshop tomorrow for those of you who are able to stay, where we'll be looking at previous and existing knowledge base work and trying to synthesize what needs to be done next in order to move this knowledge base concept forward and actually move it forward, because efforts have been made to do this over the years many times and it hasn't quite gotten that traction. So we need all of you to express its importance. So I went over this a little bit, what's not an RCMT. I'm sure you've heard this all week long, so I won't go through it again. Okay, so now you've constructed your message after determining that you needed to create a message, and after putting in the vocabulary, you've structured your message and you're ready to test it. So how do you test it? Well, vendors, as a part of their certification, have used the NIST testing tool to get certified. But the NIST testing tool, they did what they could do with what they had at the time, but it wasn't developed. The conformance profile they used wasn't developed in collaboration with public health, so it's not really public health specific. So what the CDC did was work with the public health community to develop a conformance profile, a national conformance profile, which is now available within MQF. MQF is a tool that's centrally located here at the CDC that anybody can access and use. It's just accessed over the web, and it can be used in order to test messages. And when you're testing messages there, you are testing against a level of public health constraint that your hospitals, when they certified their EHRs, did not have access to test against. You know, theirs was NIST. So this is really a useful tool. It allows senders to pre-test their messages, and it allows receivers to have a better sense in public health to know that what you'll be receiving will be much closer to something you can use. It may not be exact, because at a jurisdiction level, you'll have to refine it more. MQF doesn't let you do that refinement, but MSS does, and we'll get to that. So this is the website for MQF. And here's MSS. So MSS lives at the local level, and through MSS, it has several capabilities. One is that you can create it yourself, but it's often recommended to take the nationally developed conformance profile and then refine it to be whatever you need at your local jurisdiction. Has anyone done that by chance? Does anyone use MSS, or has anyone gone through that effort? No? Be really interested in feedback as you do, or if you do. The XML profiles are available for the states. There's a community of practice associated with it, the NEDS messaging user group, and they provide technical assistance to states in order, you know, it comes as a part of NBS, it has Rhapsody as a part of it, so there's quite a bit you can do to refine what you need at the local level with FIN-MSS. Okay. So now my favorite topic these days, like I said, the EHR, we're moving on to transport. So you've constructed the message, you've tested the message, now you need to go into production. How do you ensure that you're securely transporting that message? The regulation doesn't require use of any specific tool. FIN-MS is a tool that CDC has developed. There are others. There's Secure FTP that's been around forever and ever. There's Direct, and there's, of course, Connect, and Direct is the SMTP, the secure email transfer that ONC has really been promoting. And it's simple and has a light footprint, but has some issues as well in terms of the level of robustness and security. So public health has invested in FIN-MSS. ONC is piloting and supporting Direct. So the question is, from a transport standpoint, what should public health do at this point? You know, do you move to Direct? Do you use FIN-MSS? What do you do? ONC is trying to deploy Direct in the near term. CDC has recognized that with all of the new hospital feeds that are potentially going to public health, that CDC could not support all of those feeds. FIN-MS, the transport tool, is old. It's about 10 years old, and it needs to be updated and it needs to be revamped, and the CDC already had that on their radar. There are efforts to do conversions between Direct and FIN-MS, so that if a health department is using FIN-MS and a hospital is using Direct to an HIE, for example, the HIE could then convert the package to something that FIN-MS could transport. So there are those efforts going on, but we'll see where that ends up. We don't know yet. Once the message has been received at the health department, it then needs to be consumed by the health department. MSS, FIN-MSS, an extra S in there, is intended for that consumption at the health department. It has an integration engine that's Rhapsody that handles the message, and it has the ability to store your local constrained profile so that the validation is being done against your locally defined rules. Okay, so FinMSS is a part of the NEDS tool suite. It's freely available to public health jurisdictions. And here is some contact information for you for the NEDS base system. Programmatic is John Abalera, and the technical lead being Arun Srinivasan. NEDS message subscription service, FinMSS, is Arun Srinivasan. That's also where you can get technical support for that. And then the cooperative agreement support for epidemiology and lab capacity is Alvin Schultz. Okay. I'm going to very briefly go over how CDC, from a program standpoint, is supporting meaningful use, and then I will hand it over to our next speaker. So there is the CSTE CDC ELR Task Force that you've probably heard mentioned all this week. This was put into place because it was recognized that there was a need, but it was really prompted by a 2009 position paper that was put out by CSTE recommending that CDC and CSTE stand up this task force. So amazingly enough, CDC and CSTE did stand up this task force, and it has five work groups under it, one of which is the standards work group, which is focused on vocabulary and messaging, and that's the one I mentioned that Dari, for which Dari was the co-chair. They have been a task force unto themselves. It's really been remarkable what they've gotten done. Sorry, I had to put in that extra plug for you guys. CDC has also done quite a bit of high-tech funding with the Laboratory Technical Implementation Assistance for Public Health. That's only for 10 states, but it's been very successful so far. That's what we've heard back from the states. So we're very happy to see that model move forward and hope that it will expand and grow. There's also the standard and reusable solutions for hospitals for laboratory submission of reportable lab results. This is the SureScripts work that you may have heard about this week, or the LIC. And the idea is that SureScripts, along with CAP and others, are looking at connecting 500 hospital laboratories with public health agencies to meet the meaningful use requirements. So, and that's done through the SureScripts Award. There's a lot of outreach that's available to you in the states, the nationwide public health meaningful use conference calls, of course, the CSTE CDC Task Force, meaningful use website is available online. There's basic training that's available for meaningful use and for these public health tools. If you have questions, please go to this meaningfuluse@cdc.gov mailbox. There's also a listserv. If you want to be included in distributions, make sure that you request to be added to that listserv. So that's it. Here's a slide with some of those websites if you need those for reference. And that's it for the slide set. Did I do okay?
You did very well.
Okay.
Do you want to hold the questions until the end?
Sure. Or whatever you guys want to do.
What would you guys like to do?
Do you have questions now, or do you want to wait till the end?
I do have a question, but I can keep it till later.
Okay.
Good enough.
Go ahead. Let's roll.
My question has to do with when you were talking about the transport, and you were talking about how public health has embraced FinMS over the years, but ONC is now promoting direct. And I thought I understood you to say, and I thought this is what I heard on Sunday as well, that the HIE might be able to take the message coming over direct and then pass it on to public health through FinMS.
Yes, work is being done to try and develop that capability.
Okay, some capability. Because I also thought I heard somebody else say, then that will not allow the hospitals to meet meaningful use. And so I guess that's what my real question is.
Certainly not that I'm aware of, because okay. meaningful use stage one does not have a transport requirement as a part of it.
Okay.
It's not dictating use of any specific transport protocol.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Austin.
Actually, just a little bit more clarification on that. They may be using the HIE to actually generate the meaningful use conformant lab message, which their locally hospital laboratory may not be generating. And that may be the circumstance you're talking about, where they're not, the hospital isn't able to get certified because they're using the HIE to perform that function for them. And that's different than just pure transport.
Yeah, one is transport. The other is construction of that HL7251 message. So if what the lab or the hospital is sending to the HIE isn't compliant from a message structure format standpoint, and if the HIE is actually doing that construction, if they're taking a 231 message and converting it to 251, or if they're just constructing a 251 message at the HIE and then sending it forward, unless it's changed, and we can check with Jim Daniels and Jim Kirkwood, that doesn't qualify the hospital for meaningful use unless that HIE component is certified as a part of the hospital's EHR system.
Right. So it's not, you know, it's a complex situation, and you got to look at each individual
piece. That's why we sort of broke it down.
Whether or not they're compliant.
Do you know if they were converting the local codes to LOI codes?
Well, that would certainly be part of it. If the HIE is doing that sort of transform.
Yeah, if the HIE is doing that level of transform, then that means they're performing the function that brings it to into meaningful use compliance.
Anyone else?
And I won't even go, well, yeah. No, I won't even go into that. There's apparently a clause that gets you around LOINC, so okay. I won't even go there. It's not a good idea.
You were talking a little earlier about, I think, Rhapsody in relationship to MSS. Could
yes.
you talk a little bit more about that, how that works?
I'm not the best person to talk about that as a part of MSS, honestly. I know that Rhapsody is available as a part of MSS. I know that they've developed mapping from 231 to 251, and they're supposed to be developing 251 to 231 mapping as well. That whole project has gone through some transition at the CDC, and that's why I'm hedging a bit. I'm not sure exactly where it is right now and where it's moving, but we can certainly find out for you. However, Rhapsody is a part of it. Rhapsody is a part of what you get, and you can, as a part of NBS, get Rhapsody as well. Does anyone in the room, Austin, do you have any more details on that? No? Ah, there's a Rhapsody guy.
Yeah, hi, my name is Paul Debez, and I'm the product manager for Rhapsody. So what we do in the MSS service, basically Rhapsody is doing what it does everywhere, which is the transport, the mapping between different formats, and all the customization. MSS provides a user interface to some of the mapping capabilities, but it's just a custom addition to the standard functions that Rhapsody performs. So if you know what Rhapsody does everywhere, then you kind of know what it does in MSS as well.
And how is it packaged from the CDC end with NBS and MSS?
Now that I'm not too familiar with, I believe it just comes as part of the MSS downloading package, but I'm not too sure.
That was my understanding as well.